Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Mekhi Becton, ladies and gentlemen, human beings that large should not run as fast as Mekhi Becton did. And if you like people just abusing other humans, the Mekhi Becton tape is for you.
Wilson going to the air. Chased out by Daquan Jones. Wilson looking end zone wide open. Touchdown! First NFL touchdown for Zach Wilson. And it goes to Corey Davis. Crowder trying to get him out of space. Slips a tackle. And there he goes. Crowder. It's a foot race. And Crowder is in there. A 69-yard touchdown.
Hill hit immediately.
He got the handoff.
You know that's the Q-inator.
Oh, my gosh.
Listen, thank you.
From the PlayLikeAJet.com digital studio, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it is time for midweek news and notes. So we're joined by our friend who is plugged in around the league and with the Jets as well, Nick Spano, co-founder of U-Stadium. Nick, thanks for hopping on, buddy.
Of course, man. How's everything?
It's better for me right now than it is for Mekhi Becton. Looks like he's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. Robert Saleh came out today, says he doesn't know exactly what the story is going to be because he may opt for surgery, and then that would mean he's out longer. So at the moment, all we know is that Mekhi Becton is going to miss a significant amount of time, which means that George Fant is going to slide over to left tackle. Morgan Moses will play right tackle. And George Fant today said something that I've heard some iteration of from other offensive linemen, which is that playing one side of the line and then switching to another side of the line is like throwing right-handed and then trying to throw left-handed. So not the most encouraging quote, but it's not something that we weren't expecting somebody like Fant to say because of the fact that we've heard many offensive linemen say it when they've had to switch from the right to the left or the left to the right in the past. So basically what I'm saying here, Nick, is the Jets are not exactly in the best spot right now with the offensive line.
Yeah, it was, I mean, that was probably the most, well, one of the most upsetting things to see on Sunday was, you know, there's been so much investment and excitement, honestly, about the offensive line, and nobody was expecting, the Indianapolis Colts week one, you know, but you did hope to see a little bit better of a performance. And it started, honestly, with, you know, I was at least upset or frustrated to see Fant starting over Morgan Moses in the first place. Especially with, you know, the key thing with the offensive line is continuity and reps together. And Moses has been, you know, the guy at right tackle the entire training camp and, preseason. And then to see Fant kind of stuck in there, you know, week one to start. And not only start, like played the full game, you know. So obviously until Becton got hurt when he moved over to left tackle and Moses came in. But I was disappointed in the personnel decisions, and I'm sure we'll get into more of the receiver situation and, you know, that debacle, but also, you know, Fant now having to move over to left tackle. And, you know, on one hand, it gets Moses in there, who is definitely the better right tackle. But unfortunately you lose probably the team's best player, one of the best players and one of the young building blocks. But, you know, as of course fitting, the best play of the day was, had the worst outcome. It was the touchdown pass from Zach, that throw to Corey Davis, and then, you know, Becton's basically dead on the ground. So at that point, I'm pretty sure everybody thought it was another you know, season-ending injury, we wouldn't see Becton. So even in, you know, the worst case, if it is 6 to 8 weeks, you know, at least you'll get him back, you know, for the final half or the second half of the season. And, you know, he can at least kind of build on or at least see what he's got this year and you know, get some, you know, that left side of the line, which everybody was excited to see. You know, Vera Tucker now getting his first few snaps, you know, his first snaps of the, you know, the offseason. He didn't really do anything in the preseason and training camp. So, and then Becton goes down. So, a lot of frustration with the offensive line. But again, it is 1 week. And, you know, hopefully it did get a little bit better after the half. So hopefully they made some adjustments and hopefully they'll continue to do that. And, you know, we'll see some of the improvements and see a payoff for Zach.
Unfortunately, Nick, Mekhi Becton, not the only bad injury news the Jets got this week. LaMarcus Joyner, who left the game on Sunday, he is going to be out for the year. And Jamien Sherwood, not as bad. They expect him back next week, but he is going to miss the game on Sunday against the Patriots. The big blow here, of course, though, is Joyner. And so now the Jets' safety position is put in flux. We already had questions about Ashton Davis, but he's hurt right now anyway, so he can't step in. And now it's Marcus May and a bunch of guys that you're just kind of keeping your fingers crossed for.
Yeah, and it seems like it's a position we keep drafting players and investing in, and we still have no answer. So it's, you know, it's just it's a result of bad, you know, personnel decision after bad personnel decision, and then, you know, obviously hit with the injury bug. And Joyner was somebody who was, I felt, was hurt every week in camp and was just a snap away, you know, from something like this being inevitable. So I'm not surprised, not to sound like a dick or anything, but I'm not surprised to see it happen. And now they have to kind of, you know, patch a few things together until, if this Ashton Davis dude decides to show up and play, and hopefully he's better than what he put on tape last year, because he was pretty pitiful. But who knows, he gets in a new system and see what he can do. And, you know, again, it's a development year anyway. You know, Joyner is not a part of this thing long-term. So getting Davis, if he comes back and when he comes back, the most reps possible is, not the worst thing, but for now it's going to kind of be pretty ugly with, you know, some of these guys, you know, Jared Wilson or this red wine dude who played last week. And, you know, it's going to be those guys against Tom Brady against Mac Jones and the Patriots this week. So we'll see.
Positive news on the injury front, however. Jamison Crowder, who wasn't hurt but was on the COVID list, he's back. And Keelan Cole, who was injured for week one, he's back as well. But on the negative side of things, not that it has anything to do with injuries, but we're talking about wide receivers. Still nobody can figure out what's going on with Denzel Mims. Robert Salas said that Mims apparently is not a PhD-level expert at all three of the wide receiver positions on the field, which leads me to wonder if Jeff Smith is, because Jeff Smith is getting snaps ahead of Denzel Mims. I still don't really understand the rationale here. We know what Mims can do. We've seen his tape. We know that he's talented. We know his measurements. He's a guy that can go up and get the ball. We saw it on Sunday. So you would think, if anything, even if the guy doesn't quote-unquote fit the system, you find ways to utilize his talent. It doesn't appear that they're interested in doing that. I hate to say it, Nick, but at this moment, it really feels like the coaching staff has no use for Denzel Mims. So I don't know how much we're going to see him on Sunday, but the good news is we're going to see plenty of Keelan Cole and Jamison Crowder.
Yeah, I mean, who the Jets definitely can't use a 6'3", 4'3" speed, go up and get it, kind of out jump any corner in football. Like, we're good there. So makes a ton of sense. I'd rather see a shitty college quarterback and Braxton Berrios get snaps. And I'm sure they know the entire route tree. I mean, just look at their career resume. So an excellent decision in the waterfall of wonderful decisions by another coaching staff. So, I mean, it's one way to, you know, really endow yourself with a new fan base is to do something as stupid and, let's be honest, egotistical as LaFleur is doing with this Denzel Mims situation. And I don't want to hear the fans who think they're so smart who say, oh, you know, why put a guy out there who doesn't know what he's doing or can't pick up the playbook, or, oh, I think coaches know a little bit more than you do. You're not there every day. spare me that shit. I can't stand hearing that. And I, you know, was a little fired up about this, you know, with Luke and Clay on the Play Like a Jet Live post game after the game. And it just really, honestly, I was more mad that Denzel Mims got that snap and caught that 40-yard pass than I was happy, because it was just a kick in the ass and it was just a tease, because we know he's not going to get snaps next week. You got Cole coming back, you got Crowder coming back. If he wasn't getting snaps last week, what is he going to, is he even going to dress next week? I mean, you have to play Jeff Smith, right? I mean, he's just, he's great. So it's a really frustrating situation. I'm sure Mims is pissed, and, you know, between Crowder coming back, getting Cole now, who, you know, he's a nice player, solid depth player. He's nothing special, but he's going to see snaps because he can play all three positions, as Sala was saying. And, you know, you're going to have Mims, who was a second round pick just, you know, a year ago, and he can't get any snaps in a, you know, when they say it's a developmental year. You have the ultimate developmental piece in a wide receiver who is extremely raw but extremely talented, but won't see the field because Berrios and Smith and Cole are going to be a part of this team in 3 years. So, great situation here. That's a good way to get the fans excited about a year where there's not going to be many victories on that schedule.
I have to address the people that keep saying what you said, Nick, which is that the coaching staff knows best and you have to have faith in them. That's fine to an extent, but that doesn't mean they're above being questioned. And also, on top of that, let's not pretend like Mike LaFleur is Sean McVay. He doesn't have some sort of proven track record as an offensive coordinator. That doesn't mean that I know more about football than him. It doesn't mean that Nick knows more about football than him. But it also means he's not infallible, and it means that you can't just trust everything he says without criticism. He's not above that. On top of that, with Denzel Mims, what I keep coming back to, and I was talking to Luke about this the other day, when Brett Coleman was on Play Like a Jet, I remember we were talking about DK Metcalf, and I said, I don't know about drafting him. He doesn't really know that many routes. He's only capable of running maybe two or three routes. And so Brett Coleman said, so what? And I said, what do you mean? Don't you want a guy with a lot of routes that he can run? He said, sure, ideally, but how many routes could Calvin Johnson run? Who stopped him?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to stop DK Metcalf? And I hadn't really thought about it that way, but he was 100% right. I stopped and said, you know what? You're right. I was still nervous about the injuries, and I think there's reason to still be concerned about that over the long haul with DK Metcalf. But as far as the route tree, if he can dominate running two or three routes, so what? And with Denzel Mims, I would say, even if he doesn't know every single route in the playbook or whatever, fine, put him out there, have him run a couple of routes that he does know, and let him be a work in progress and develop him throughout the course of the season. I'm not saying that he has to get out there over Corey Davis, but there's no reason that I need to see Jeff Smith out there when Denzel Mims is sitting on the bench.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. And you know, just because he might not fit LaFleur's system, and God forbid, because, you know, let's say he's the next Bill Walsh, the best coaches make, you know, talented players. You fit your system around a player like that. You know, you go away and the most prized possession in this league is talent. They're looking for talent, and they leave no stone unturned. This guy has a ton of it. And for you to not play him because maybe he doesn't know every route and every position or every, you know, wide receiver position out there, and he can't do, you know, he can't run a route in the slot like a Berrios can or Crowder, you're going to give up or waste a potential star receiver who has star star ability just because he doesn't know your system. That's a red flag to me. And I don't want to seem like I'm down on LaFleur, because I'm not. You know, I think he had a rough day, which is fine. It's his first game as a pro, you know, play caller. But there are some red flags that make you worry about a guy like him. You know, the personnel decision so far, what he's kept with this tight end / fullback room is a joke. And this Mims situation, the backup quarterback situation. So there are personnel situations that you're not fond of. And now you're getting into the actual scheme of it. And, you know, you can't be thrilled about that. So, yes, he deserves criticism. And no, it doesn't mean I don't think he's a good coach because I am criticizing him. And it doesn't mean that I know more football than LaFleur because I don't, not even close. So long story short, and what you said is 100% true. And let's be real here. You're talking about an organization that's probably made, you know, 90% of the decisions they've made in the past 10 years have been the wrong one. So let's not act like they don't deserve any criticism or any skepticism here, and that they deserve the benefit of the doubt. Because if there's one franchise that doesn't deserve the benefit of the doubt the past decade, it's the New York Jets. So, you know, give yourself some credit as a fan if you're sitting there saying, why is Jeff Smith playing and getting, you know, 40% of the reps, and Denzel Mims has had three? And Mims, even if you want to call it three, I felt like I only saw him once, maybe twice on another, you know, botched play. And the one play he gets in there, he has the longest pass play of the game. Give yourself some credit. You might actually know a little bit more football than you think. And don't just say, oh, well, if the coach says it, it's true, because we just lived through an Adam Gase and Todd Bowles era, and they definitely had not made, you know, benefit, you know, definitely have not deserved the benefit of the doubt on all of their decisions. So, you know, don't write yourself off if you're sitting there at home watching it and you're criticizing a first time offensive coordinator for a decision that he's made.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Movement on the roster. Mekhi Becton, as we said, goes to IR, as does LaMarcus Joyner. Brayden Mann, the punter, going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. I thought Matt Amendola might do the dual role and save them a roster spot, but no, they went out and got Thomas Morstead. Blake Cashman on IR. I'll be honest, Nick, I wasn't a huge fan of his coming out of college, and what I just said about him being hurt, that's more or less an evergreen thought. He's constantly hurt. Mm-hmm. So at this point, I just consider him another Mike Maccagnan sunk cost draft pick. Here are some additions to the roster right now. Before we get to the active roster, Noah Dawkins, who you remember from training camp in the preseason, the linebacker, he is back. He's going to be on the practice squad. Elijah, not even going to attempt to say his last name. He's an offensive lineman. But now the Jets have a third Elijah. He is on the practice squad as well. Jets also add Jared Wilson, who you mentioned before, a safety. Isaiah Williams, another offensive lineman. And B.J. Goodson, the linebacker, who they actually invested a fair amount of money in. I believe it was $1 to $2 million. We've seen him before. He's actually played pretty well in spurts. And for the amount of money the Jets are giving him, you would expect him to get a fair amount of playing time. So, Nick, what do you think about these roster moves? I know that it's not anything amazing. It's the bottom of the roster type stuff. But still, there's some movement here.
Yeah, I think I like the Goodson move a lot, actually. I thought, you know, when I saw his name kind of out there amongst, you know, when the KJ Wrights were hanging around, and, you know, there was always Goodson and even our old friend Avery Williamson, who they brought in for a workout. When those guys were still available, you know, you look at all them and they all seem like a system fit with Sala. And the Jets were running a bunch of, you know, 6th round picks out there playing and undrafted free agents. Those always made sense. So it's good to see that, you know, while this is a year where they're developing, you can't send out guys who just can't play, because it affects everything. You know, there's a trickle down. If you want to develop, you know, same thing when a quarterback gets hurt like last year, or when Darnold misses games, you can't trot Luke Falk out there, because you can't, even if you're developing players in a losing season, how are you going to develop anybody with Luke Falk? You know, so you need to have veterans on a team. I know you want to go young, and that's fine. You know, the secondary looked pretty solid, you know, albeit last week against Sam Darnold, but you know, a guy like Goodson's going to come in. He's not going to steal reps from anybody that you're really gung-ho about, right? You know, so you're going to need bodies. I mean, injuries this year have just seemed like it's been an epidemic, which is crazy. You know, obviously, I guess with the lack of hitting now in camp, and, you know, the preseason was all out of whack, and last year was a weird season. So who knows what the issue is, but there is an issue. And, you know, Blake Cashman, they can just get him out of town. We don't need to see him anymore. And we'll see what they have in these 2 6th-round picks in Hamsa and Sherwood. But you needed another guy there, and Goodson makes a lot of sense. And you know, Morstead's a 12-year vet. He's, you know, kicked in the Super Bowl and won a lot of games in New Orleans. Obviously, he's just a punter, but you know, you could do a lot worse than him. So and Matt Amendola was awesome. It was just really cool, and it was unfortunate that he didn't have a chance to have a scoring opportunity. He did all that kicking and they were all punts. You know, they went for 2 twice. So the most excitement he probably had were a few kick or the onside kick. I like the Goodson move. I like the Morstead pickup. The rest of the moves, I'm sure, probably just some depth, but the way this year, you know, the summer and now the start of the season is going, these guys are probably going to end up getting snaps at some point.
Nick, before we run, anything else we missed or any whispers you've been hearing around the team?
There was, so I'm not sure if it was the Jets. It you know, could be, because they're always interested, but I do know one guy who has gotten a lot of calls, it's the other New York team, is their other safety now. Jabril Peppers has gotten some interest around the league. A lot of teams are calling about him. So that's one name that I've heard teams have called. I'm not sure if the Jets were one of them. Wouldn't surprise me if they were. But he's somebody who could get moved. You know, they're playing their Alabama safety they drafted 2 years ago, who missed his rookie season, McKinney, and they have Logan Ryan playing back there, so he seems to be a bit out of favor with the Giants. So he's somebody who I wouldn't be surprised if he gets moved. And spoke with Crowder earlier today and said he's good to go. I think he's cleared. I think they just have to, there is one more like formality, but he'll be practicing tomorrow. So it'll be good to get him out there. He'll help out a lot, especially in a game like this against New England, where, you know, Zach's going to have to get the ball out. And, you know, Crowder is great at finding, you know, open spots. And you know, if you know one thing about Bill Belichick, is he takes your number one target away. So Corey Davis, I'm sure, is going to see that blanket all, you know, all game on Sunday. So Crowder is going to be the one who's going to be relied on, along with Elijah Moore, who had a horrific debut. So those two guys are going to see a lot of time, and I'm sure we'll see the great Braxton Berrios and Jeff Smith out there. So and can't forget Keelan Cole. So those guys better be ready to make some plays, because, you know, Belichick is going to be locking down Corey Davis.
Nick Spano, co-founder of Youth Stadium, thanks so much for hopping on and talking about all the midweek news and notes with me. Really appreciate it. If you want to be in the know, if you want to know everything that's going on, including what Nick just talked about, the whispers about Jabril Peppers, there's one thing you need to do if you haven't done it already. Download the app, right, Nick?
Yes, sir. Turn those notifications on and you'll get it all.
Go ahead and download the Youth Stadium app. Also, check them out at youthstadium.com and at Youth Stadium on Twitter. And check out everything that we're doing at playlikeajet.com and the Play Like a Jet YouTube channel. Luke Grant has been doing some fantastic videos. He's got a film review up right now of Zach Wilson. He's got one for Elijah Vera Tucker as well. Plus, as you know, Luke is the co-host of Play Like a Jet Live Wednesday nights in conjunction with Youth Stadium with Clayton Smarslock. So Check them out live Wednesday nights as well, and subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't done so already. Also, give us a 5-star review for the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done that already. Easy way to help out the show if you like what we're doing. Doesn't take you much time, doesn't cost you any money, but it goes a long way to help us out. So if you could go ahead and do that for us, we'd be quite grateful. And for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcast and content, you know where to go. That's Play Like a Jet Digital and playlikeajet.com.